A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard, my face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who upholds my right. If anyone wishes to oppose me, let us appear together. Who disputes my right? Let him confront me. See, the Lord God is my help. Who will prove me wrong? Verbum Domini. Lord, in your great love, answer me.
Lord, in your great love, answer me.
For your sake, I bear insult, and shame covers my face. I have become an outcast to my brothers, a stranger to my mother's sons, because zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who blaspheme you fall upon me. Insult has broken my heart, and I am weak. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For consolers, not one could I find. Rather, they put gall in my food, and in my thirst gave me vinegar to drink. I will praise the name of God in song, and I will glorify him with thanksgiving. See, you lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the poor, and his own who are not in bonds, he spurns not.
Crucifixion like a gentle lamb to the slaughter.
Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house, I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, surely it is not I, Lord. He said in reply, he who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born. Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, surely it is not I, Rabbi. He answered, you have said so. Verbum Domini.
We have a picture of Mother Angelica in the sanctuary this morning, as today is the 8th anniversary of her death. It was on Easter Sunday in 2016 that Mother passed from this life. And so it's a good reminder, although we're in the midst of Holy Week and Wednesday of Holy Week takes precedence, it's a good reminder for us to unite our intentions, of course, with this Holy Sacrifice of the Mass to thank God for the gift of her life and her continual yes to the Lord and all the great things that he accomplished through her. But also, again, as this is the anniversary of her death, to continue to pray for the repose of her soul. And on this Wednesday of Holy Week, the Church sets before us the account of Judas betraying the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And this isn't, of course, the first time we heard about Judas. We heard about him yesterday and the day before in the Gospel. So the Church wants us to learn from his example what not to do. So this has been called, referred to as Spy Wednesday, and it's specifically in reference to today's gospel, when Judas went out as a spy to betray the Lord to the chief priests. St. Matthew notes in his gospel that after Judas negotiated with the chief priests and was paid 30 pieces of silver, that he looked for an opportunity to hand over the Lord. The Lord loved Judas, and he gave him many graces and opportunities to grow in holiness and to resist temptation. That's a part of our faith. God gives each of us the graces necessary to attain salvation. Everyone, he gives the graces. But are we willing to cooperate with that? The Lord loved him, and Judas followed the Lord for 3 years. He'd heard him preach about the kingdom of God, the truth about the kingdom of God. He had seen many miracles firsthand. He had seen many people healed. He had seen demons expelled from people who were bound by the devil. So he clearly was aware of our Lord's divine power. But one can ask, did he ever really come to know and to love the Lord? Did he ever really trust in him? Did he ever really come to realize how much he himself was loved by the Lord? There's a great saying that a saint is one who loves the Lord, but even more so, a saint is one who's absolutely convinced that God loves him or her. And so if one truly loves the Lord, it doesn't mean that they're never going to sin, but if they do fall, they will get right back up and they will turn back to the Lord. So why did Judas betray the Lord? One thing that we learn from Scripture is that the sin of avarice or greed was involved. Judas said to the chief priest in today's gospel, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? We also remember from the gospel we heard at Mass on Monday that Judas was not happy and he considered it a waste when Mary broke open the oil, the chrism, the fragrant oil, and poured it on the Lord's feet, the ointment. Even though Judas spoke about the waste and that it could have been sold for the poor, St. John tells us that Judas said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He used to steal from the contributions to satisfy his own greedy desires. So Judas had allowed his heart to be corrupted by avarice and greed and an inordinate desire for riches. And whatever other motives may have influenced Judas, we also know very clearly that Satan was involved. St. John tells us that the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas to betray him. But it still must be clear that it was a very conscious decision of Judas. He wasn't forced to betray the Lord. He freely gave in to that temptation. And we know from the Gospels that the devil had earlier tried to tempt the Lord, tried to do whatever he could to destroy the Holy One, but he was unsuccessful when the Lord was tempted in the desert. But now the enemy of our souls found an opportunity. He found an opportunity to open door in someone who was giving in to their unruly passions and desires. This is through the greed of Judas. Judas had resisted grace and rather indulged his unruly passion, which gave the devil influence over him. And at last he was blinded by his sin. We know that sin blinds our intellect, it weakens our will. And Judas he listened to the suggestions given to him by the devil. But little did the devil know that God would incorporate all of this into his plan of salvation. That God knew how to bring good out of the worst possible evil. It'd be through the betrayal, the passion, and death of Christ that this betrayal was made part of our salvation, part of our redemption. And we can see in this case of Judas how low we can fall when we resist God's grace, when we resist the inspirations of the Holy Spirit and the graces that Christ gives us. And it's also important to remember our part in this and the effect of our sins. Right? This isn't just about Judas. The church is bringing the example of Judas for us so that we learn that we don't fall into the same mistakes and that we also repent of our part. So the Catechism of the Catholic Church reminds us that the church has never forgotten that sinners were the authors and ministers of all the sufferings that the divine Redeemer endured. That's each of us. Right? Our sins crucified the Lord. The prophet Isaiah reminds us that the suffering servant was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. And with his stripes, we are healed. And again, if we look more closely at the case of Judas, when he later realized the gravity of his sin and what he had done, his conscience reproached him. He did admit his guilt. He said, I have sinned in betraying innocent blood. And then Satan tempted him further. This next temptation was even more grave. It was to fall into the sin of despair. And there certainly is a lesson here regarding temptation and the working of the enemy. Because the initial temptation always makes the sin seem very pleasant, very attractive, and very good. So at first he attracts us to it. And if we consent and we fall, then he turns into the accuser. And he says, how wretched you are. You're not worthy of God's mercy. Your sin is too great. You can't be forgiven for this sin. So that initial thought of the happiness, the pleasure that we'd receive by committing a particular sin, that's quickly erased. And we soon experience the shame, the guilt, the lack of peace that we desired. So at first, Judas saw some financial gain in this wicked deed. Right? That was his weakness, was seeking money and wealth, and he put his trust, his confidence in riches. But then once he consented and then carried out the act of betrayal, the devil again transitions into the accuser. And Judas, we know, certainly could have received God's mercy if he would have turned back to God. Again, he did acknowledge his guilt, but he lacked trust in God's mercy. So he did not turn back to God asking for mercy. So we know that the acknowledgement of guilt is necessary. It's important, right? We acknowledge what we do, but it doesn't end there, that's where it ended with Judas. So the worst sin of Judas was not betraying the Lord. The worst sin was not trusting in God's mercy, despairing of God's mercy. And that's a sin against the Holy Spirit, which our Lord warned about in the Gospels. Judas had lost hope. And hope is that theological virtue that gives us trust and confidence in Almighty God and in his mercy, that he's constantly calling us to himself, and that he will give us, it's a part of our faith. God gives all of us the graces necessary, the means necessary to attain our salvation, if we cooperate with him. So we learn from this of the need to always repent and turn back to the Lord if there's a fall, no matter how hard or how low we may have fallen, making a good confession and receiving God's abundant mercy and peace. And further, when we look at the example of Judas, it's a good reminder as well to pray for those who have taken their own lives, to pray for those who have fallen into despair, those who may have been trying to escape from an intense pain and they may have been blinded, as Judas was blinded. They're trying to escape from intense pain and feeling overwhelmed. So we pray for their souls and we entrust them to God's mercy. And we also pray for those who are being tempted right now to despair, that they might be strengthened in their faith and that they might come to more fully know the love of God, that there is no sin that's greater than his mercy, but we have to turn to him. We have to ask him for his mercy, to trust in him. And so in light of today's gospel, we can also learn from the example of how the Lord treated Judas. He patiently waited until the very end for Judas to repent and to turn back to him. We heard our Lord say in today's gospel, "One of you will betray me." And St. Matthew tells us that when the Lord said, "One of you will betray me," the apostles were distressed. So he was even willing, the Lord was even willing to make the apostles uncomfortable by getting each of them to examine, "Is it I, Lord?" When he easily could have called out Judas, "It's you, Judas, you're going to betray me." But as St. John Chrysostom noted, that the Lord did not mention Judas by name to give him one more opportunity to repent. "I know one of you is going to betray me." And Judas knew he was the one who was going to do it. So the Lord was being as patient as possible, offering as many opportunities as possible to repent and to turn back to him. Of course, we know that our Lord even calls him friend when Judas did hand him over in the garden. "Friend, why are you here?" he said to him. Again, that's one more opportunity for him to repent. Despite knowing from the beginning that Judas would betray him, the Lord was still patient with him to the very end. What a good example for us, right? To be patient with the weaknesses of others, trying to help them with our prayers in any way we can and pointing them to the Lord. Great insight that Archbishop Sheen gave, as he once noted that he might have been Saint Judas. He possessed what every soul possesses, a tremendous potential for sanctity and peace. But let us be sure that whatever be our sins, and regardless of the depths of our betrayal, there is ever a hand outstretched to embrace, a face shining with the light of forgiveness, and a divine voice that speaks a word to us as it did with Judas, even until the end, and that is friend. Right? He's always calling us. So we know that perseverance is a grace that's necessary. This is something we should be praying for regularly, for the grace of final perseverance. I'll give you one more quotation from another great doctor of the church, St. Jerome. And he said, "Christians will not be asked how they began, but rather how they finished. St. Paul began badly, but he finished well. Judas's beginning was praiseworthy, but his end was despicable. Many start the climb, but few reach the summit, and perseverance is necessary." So as we prepare to enter into the Triduum tomorrow, the holiest days of the year, we renew our commitment to always have recourse to the Lord and to his mercy. And we ask for the grace of final perseverance to remain faithful to the Lord to the very end.